Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Hope Springs Eternal Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah. You ready?
Sure, read to me.
This is heartrending.
Yeah?
Okay. An elderly-looking gentleman, looks to be in his mid-90s. He's very well-dressed. His hair is well-groomed. He's wearing a great-looking suit, flower in his lapel, smelling slightly of a great aftershave lotion, presenting a well-looked-after image. He walks into an upscale cocktail lounge. Right?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Seated at the bar is an elderly but good-looking older woman. Looks like she's in her mid-80s, maybe.
A young babe.
The gentleman walks over, sits alongside of her, orders a drink. He takes a sip. He turns to the woman and says, "So tell me, do I come here often?" Oh, man. That's me.
I love it.
Do I come here often?
Well, if you have a question about your car that we've been asked often, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. That's a good joke. Hello.
Hi, my name is Christiane, and I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Christiane.
What's going on?
Well, I drive a 97 Honda Civic, and I have three clues for you guys to my problem.
Yeah.
Basically, first of all, what...
And we're supposed to guess?
Well, I hope you don't have to guess.
I'll diagnose it. I'll tell you, we don't like too many clues, because...
Yeah.
The more clues, the more embarrassing it is when we don't get the answer.
But well, and because if you give us a lot of different things to digest...
They might conflict.
If they conflict, see, we like to have one answer apply to all the clues.
Everything.
Right. If we're going to architecture an answer...
Architect. We're going to architect.
Oh, architect? We're not going to architecture?
No.
Architect.
Yeah, we're going to architect. You got to. The trick is to turn nouns into verbs and verbs into nouns. Okay?
All
so
right,
we're going to architect something.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
We're ready.
Three clues.
Okay, first of all,
what
it sounds like. Basically, this is a sound that's coming from the right front wheel area, and it's hard to describe what it sounds like, but the best that my husband and I have been able to come up with is that it's somewhere between, like, a small metallic rattlesnake sound, and then if you had, like, if you were sharpening a metal tool on a bench grinder. Yeah, it's kind of a high-pitched.
High-pitched. Okay, that's clue number one.
Clue number one.
B.
Clue number two is when it happens.
B, not two. B.
It happens intermittently. I can sometimes drive almost an entire drive and not hear it, and then other times it's almost constant. It can happen at city speeds around town, but it's most frequent on the freeway.
Okay, well, that was a lot of help. Okay,
so we're going to put
three. We're going to put down random for number two. Yeah.
Okay, number three. If I tap the brakes at all, it stops immediately.
Very, very, very good.
Thank
so that's
God.
What you've that's, got to work with.
That if without the third one, we were done for.
Dead in the water. It'd be like nailing Jell-O to the wall. Jeez.
Yeah, without that third one, I was stumped.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
I could never stop you guys.
You gave us a... This is great. A 97 Civic. And
oh, yeah,
you've never heard this sound before?
No. The only other thing that can even be remotely related is that, like, when I hit the brakes, it kind of shudders a little bit, like...
Oh, that fits in with what you need.
That fits in. That's good.
What you're hearing is the wear sensor on the front brake pads.
Okay.
And the fact that your brake pedal is pulsating... when you step on it at high speed, is telling us that you need not only brake pads, but you need to replace or resurface the discs.
Okay. Well, is this something... My husband is a bit of a car guy. Could he, like, fix this over the weekend, climb under there and...
Yeah.
Do this himself?
Well, he wouldn't be able to resurface the rotors, the
but
discs.
But he could buy new ones.
Buy new rotors?
Could buy new ones, yeah.
And this vehicle, the 97 Civic, the disc rotors come right off.
Okay, good.
And you do this one side at a time, so whenever you drop something, you don't know where it goes.
You
go look at
the other
one, and you say, uh-huh, which means he's got to jack up both sides of the car at the same time, so he needs to have jack stands.
Okay.
And if he doesn't have them, tell him not to do this.
Okay.
And don't use cinder blocks. Or...
He goes out and buys jack stands.
Jack stands.
Okay, he would love that.
He would
love
that. And he'll need a floor jack, too.
Yeah, he would love it if you just said, oh, and you need a, rebuild a garage in the back and install a...
Sure, and if he wants to save some money, instead of buying new rotors, he can buy a lathe and he can resurface the rotors himself.
Yeah, I mean, the lathes are cheap. They're like $3,500 now.
Yeah.
You know? So tell him
and
to
they
get
don't
right...
take up much room, about the space of a car.
Tell them to get right on it.
Hey, good luck, Christiane.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man, an easy question to start off.
I know.
Off.
Well, don't get carried away. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Mike calling from Anchorage.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm just great.
What's happening in Anchorage?
Well, I've got a small dilemma, but it's not the worst thing in the world, but maybe you guys can help me.
Okay.
The deal is my two sons and I are sailing our family boat beginning in March. We're leaving San Diego, where the boat is now, to the Galapagos and then Tahiti and Marquesas for a two-year trip.
Holy cow.
See, this is what happens if you live in Alaska. You flip out at some point. And you quit your job, and you decide to take 2 years off.
And you say, I've had it with the snow.
You guys must have been peeking through the window to know what's going on up here.
Boy, what a trip.
Well, we've been planning it for a while, and the boat's great, and we're all ready to go. And
what kind of a boat is it?
It's a sailboat.
It is a sailboat. It's about 48 feet long.
Yeah, I mean, how else would you go? We're going to have aerial refueling. We're going to cross the Pacific.
Really?
Well, part way, anyhow.
Yeah, part way. They're going to have to rely on wind and this four-cylinder engine when there's, what? No stinking wind.
Really?
Well, the boat engine's great. That's not the problem.
Yeah, I got it. Will your car make it to San Diego? Is that the question?
Well, it would make it. I'd send it part way on either the ferry or some other way to get it there, but it would make it.
Oh, okay. So what is the question?
Well, I'm glad you let me get to it, but here's the question.
Sorry to interrupt you.
I know it's tough, but here's the question. I've got a 73 Land Rover that I've been restoring for about 10 years, and it's sort of my baby. And the issue is whether to sell it or store it. And if I store it, I'm not sure whether you need to jack it up on blocks or you put it in Cosmoline or what you do with it.
What is Cosmoline anyway? Is
it, well, when I was a kid, you know, those Jeeps used to be stored in Cosmoline.
That's what they said, right? Of course, no one ever knew
it. I would like someone to send me.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
I don't want a 55-gallon drum. I'd like maybe a pint.
A pint.
Of just Cosmoline.
Just to know what it is.
I'm sure it exists.
I think Estee Lauder makes it.
Well, that's the base for all those cosmetics.
Yeah.
But Cosmoline.
Wait, we interrupted him again.
Well, you can't sell it because obviously you've put your heart and soul into this thing.
Yeah. You've got to store it and then restore it when you come back.
Well, storing cars in Anchorage is pretty pricey. It costs like $150 a month to get somebody to store it in a garage.
Oh, you don't have any place to store it.
Nope. Well, the car in the driveway is not a deal. I can get outside storage, but inside storage... out of the snow and the rain, that's the dilemma.
Well, you don't have to store inside. I mean, you can get one of those car covers. In fact, you may be able to do that shrink wrap thing that they do for boats. Have you seen that?
Ooh.
Yeah, sure have.
Of course he's seen it. He's a sailor.
My little car won't sweat in there and not sort of rust out underneath the shrink wrap on those 3 days a year it gets warm.
Well, I don't think so, because what you're going to do is you're gonna suck out all the air that's inside the bag. You're gonna
drive the car into the bag.
Into the plastic bag.
This is like a Ziploc. Have you seen that thing that they advertise, those British guys advertise on TV to store your sweaters?
They don't get
they
TV.
Put, you don't have Anchorage, you don't have TV?
No
they
TV.
Got sweaters, though. You put like 500 sweaters in a bag, and then you attach your vacuum cleaner to this thing, and you run the vacuum cleaner for like, what, a week?
And you suck out
and then this thing
most
becomes
of the sweaters.
This becomes the size of your wallet. And you put this thing in like the top drawer of your dresser.
I'll carry it around.
And your sweater.
I got 25 sweaters in my pocket. Those British.
You
British.
Cut that thing open. You can supply a family of 25 sweaters.
But you could do this. I mean, and if you can get outside storage cheap, that would be the way to do it.
Yeah, you've got to go to a place that does. You go to a marina, you know, a place that services boats.
Yeah, and you just want to hire the guy to come and do it in somebody's driveway.
And I wouldn't worry at that point about jacking it up or doing any of that stuff. The only thing about jacking it up is that it saves your tires from getting flat spots. But if you came back after 2 years and your tires had flat spots and that were the only price you had to pay for storing the car for 2 years, I think I'd consider myself pretty lucky.
Me
of course,
too.
You should do the necessary precautions, run it out of gasoline, et cetera, et cetera. I wouldn't bother to change the oil. I would unhook the battery, and I would just push the thing in there and suck out the air and go to the Galapagos Islands and bring back a couple of turtles or something.
That sounds like a deal, guys.
Have you ever been to any of these places?
Well, no, as a matter of fact, I haven't. We've been the opposite direction, but not to the Pacific.
Cool.
Wow.
So how old are your two sons?
My older guy is 23, and he just graduated from college, and the younger guy is 19 and graduated from high school.
Boy, this is going to be the trip of a lifetime.
Send us postcards, man. That's going to be a great trip.
You can't send them postcards because he's going
you're in the middle of the ocean.
Set up a flare. See you, Mike.
Thank you very much, guys.
Good luck, Mike.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Charlotte. I'm calling from Lewiston, Idaho.
Hi, Charlotte.
Lewiston, Idaho.
Yes.
Idaho is one of those states that we here in the East sort of don't know. We don't even know it exists.
We prefer it that way.
I'm sure that you do. But, I mean, I'll bet you could ask 1,000 people from Boston to point to Idaho on a map, and there wouldn't be 12 people.
Or name more than one city in Idaho.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can't use Boise.
Yeah.
And you're done for.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, so Charlotte, she's struggling with Lewiston.
That's right.
Anyway, what's up?
Well, I'm calling about my daughter's vehicle.
Okay.
She has a 1971 Ford F-100 pickup.
Really?
That she just bought in June from one of her teachers at the high school. She paid $300 for it.
Cool.
And she had the shop teacher at school look it over before she bought it, and he said all it needed was a tune-up and a shock absorber mount to be rewelded. And so she was taking it in. They work on the students' cars in the shop class. And so she took it to school to have the tune-up done 2 weeks after she made the last payment. Her friend was waiting for her at school, and when she drove up, her friend said, you know, something smells kind of funny. So they opened the hood and looked, and there was oil all over underneath the engine.
Mm-hmm.
So she let the shop teacher know. He kept it for a couple of weeks and told her that she might as well just sell the truck because it can't be fixed. He said that the oil filter had imploded.
Mm.
He said she had driven it to school on about a half a quart of oil. But we only live about 3 blocks from school, so it wasn't very far. But I was just kind of wondering if you guys had ever heard of an oil filter imploding, and if so, what would cause that? And since you only paid $300 for it, should we go ahead and put a little bit of money into it to keep it running at least until she graduates in May?
No, I'd never heard of an oil filter imploding.
I don't think it imploded.
I've seen them explode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you see the thing?
I did not see it.
I mean, imploded would mean
it
was all crushed, like some monster had grabbed it and collapsed it.
That's what he said.
That's what he said, huh?
And I talked to some people here who work on cars, and they said, you know, that would have meant that the oil pump would have had to just really
start sucking
such a vacuum. That
well, the oil pump would have to have turned backwards.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's unlikely, but it almost doesn't matter. I think he's nuts. It didn't implode. I think it exploded. But it's possible that not a lot of damage was really done.
Okay.
It's possible.
So,
and she drove it to school, and it ran well.
Yeah, and she's driven it since she got it back, and
yeah,
hasn't had any trouble.
He did put another oil filter and 5 quarts of oil in it,
yes.
And it's running.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would do. I would load the thing up with STP oil treatment.
Yes.
Okay.
Scientifically treated petroleum.
Okay.
STP.
When you say load it up, how much? What do you mean?
8 quarts.
That?
Cases, maybe. I don't.
Cases,
no,
okay.
I would probably. The thing holds 5 quarts of oil. I would.
Uh-huh.
I would certainly put
a can in.
A can or maybe two.
Okay.
But I would start with a can.
Okay.
And I would tell her to drive it. I mean, I would certainly get a second opinion as to Okay. What is wrong with the engine? I mean, I know you're trying desperately to do that now, and you're not succeeding.
I mean, I think the shop teacher's advice was somewhat alarmist. I mean, his analysis that you might as well junk it because this engine is done for is a little premature.
Okay.
I wouldn't take that as gospel.
Oh, good.
I mean, if he did look at it initially and determined that it didn't need much at all, then it's perhaps worth saving up the money to put a rebuilt engine in it at some point.
Okay.
So she can drive it on a limited basis with the STP in it until the engine begins to make more noise or the oil pressure drops off, and hopefully by that time she'll have saved enough to make a payment on another engine.
Just forget about it.
Okay.
I think it's
fine. I thought you'd say that.
Yeah,
it's
great. She's not driving the thing to, like, Montana, is she?
No, she drives it to work and to school and then, of course, round and around downtown on the weekend nights.
Perfect. So she's not going very far from home.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as long as she can send up a smoke signal or something and someone can come and rescue her, then
I feel...
She
is covered by AAA, so she always has that
What
help.
Could be better?
I right. feel good about advising her to just drive it.
Okay,
yep,
good.
Me too.
I'm glad you said that.
See you, Charlotte.
Thank you very much.
Our pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, it's time to get serious.
Serious? I'm always serious.
It's time for you to remember our most recent puzzler.
Oh, are you going to give me the usual hints thing?
No stinking hints.
No stinking hints? Get serious, will you?
Okay, one hint.
Yeah.
A dimly lit Quonset hut.
Oh, man, I remember it well. The dimly lit Quonset hut. The inky shadows. Yeah.
That's it, man. And we'll be back with the entire literary masterpiece in just a minute.
And even though Confucius says, boy, is silence golden, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp, a truly affordable online counseling service. Fill out a questionnaire online and get matched with a licensed counselor best suited to your mental health needs. Whether it's depression, anxiety, or trauma, BetterHelp will help you overcome what stands in the way of your happiness. Learn more at BetterHelp.com and get 10% off your first month with promo code CARTALK. BetterHelp. Get help anytime, anywhere.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from K. Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
This is Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. I just interviewed former President Barack Obama about dealing with falsehoods like birtherism, facing obstruction in Congress, and why he's still hopeful about American democracy. The episode is now in the Fresh Air feed.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yes, a dimly lit Quonset hut.
Anyway, this was sent to us by someone named Tom Klimala from cyberspace, I guess, and I'll set the scene. You ready?
Yeah.
It's just as he did.
As he did. Go ahead.
Don't get too excited.
Man,
the answer's not that good.
I love it.
But the question is great. An RAF airfield north of London. A dimly lit Quonset hut filled with air crews just returned from bombing runs over Germany.
Dimly lit Quonset.
All right, shut up, will you? The meeting opens with the chaplain leading the men in prayer for their lost comrades. He's followed by the flight operations exec, who begins the debriefing by asking the airmen, from what direction were you attacked by the German fighter planes? Without hesitation or dissent, the reply was, from above and behind. The flight operations exec hastily scribbles the information on the back of a top-secret map, hands it to a junior officer and says, get this information to the departing air crews. It may save their lives.
Here comes the good part. Yeah, this is the good part.
As the junior officer turns to leave the dimly lit Quonset hut, from the inky shadows,
woo!
A hand grasps his arm.
Can you just see it, man? Was it Humphrey Bogart?
This was a nice, brief little puzzle before you started repeating all the lines. Anyway, as the messenger turns to leave from the inky shadows, a hand grasps his arm and he hears these words, "Hold that order." Or hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Hold that order. The information you're about to give may lose lives rather than save them. What did the guy from the inky shadows know that the flight exec didn't?
Oh, that's not the right question.
It isn't?
Well, I don't think. I mean, doesn't the flight exec know the same information that this guy in the inky shadows knows?
Well, he should.
He should.
What mistake did the flight exec...
Yeah, that's better.
What mistake did the flight exec...
Exactly, and did he lose his job over it? No.
He should have.
He should have, huh?
Yeah, well...
I don't know the answer, by the way.
Basically, it was a case of poor sampling. You see, the only information that the flight exec had in the dimly lit Quonset hut...
Stop it.
...was from the guys who survived, from the guys who came back. The guys who came back were all attacked from above and behind.
Yeah.
But it may be that those weren't the fatal attacks. The fatal attacks were for some other direction. And those people, those airmen, had no advice to offer.
Oh.
Because they didn't come back.
Exactly.
So that's why lies.
So we don't even know what he wrote on the back of the
map.
Well,
I'm assuming he wrote, "Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce." The attacks are coming from above and behind.
Back and to the left.
when in fact... That information.
What he wanted to know was the information from the guys who weren't at the meeting.
Right. Pretty good, huh? Do we have
a
winner?
Is. Yeah. The winner is Eldon Brumbaugh,
who wrote to us from dimly lit Quonset.
No, he wrote to us from Racine, Wisconsin, and for having his answer selected at random from among the snowblower full of correct answers that we got, Eldon is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. That's not
bad. And what, pray tell, can Eldon get with that gift certificate?
Well, he can have his choice of a bunch of real junk. I mean, to be honest with you, it's all junk, and all of it says Car Talk on it. What are the chances of that?
Oh, well, enjoy that, Eldon. We'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stick around. In the meantime, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
My name's Sandy Berry, and I'm from Bozeman, Montana.
Hi, Sandy. How can we help you?
Hi.
Bozeman.
Well, I have a 1984 Nissan truck, and right before I shift into second, I hear a humming noise in my glove compartment. And I was wondering why.
Who screens these calls?
Obviously nobody.
See, we have a crack staff here at the station. It's supposed to screen out all the weirdos and kooks. And somehow you slip through the cracks.
All right, give it to us again now. As you're shifting from what to what, what happens where?
Right before I shift into, second, there'll be this humming noise that sounds like it's coming from my glove compartment.
Yeah, and once you've shifted into second?
Then it goes away. It
goes away. And it doesn't happen shifting from second to third or third to fourth?
Sometimes from second to third, but not to the fourth.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what it is. I don't know exactly what it is, but I'm going to tell you what's the source of it.
Source.
Okay.
The source is... I don't know what the... Ask you some other questions, like what color the truck is. Four-wheel drive? Do you have heavy-duty suspension? Go on, snap out of it, will you?
This is an 84 Nissan, you said?
Yeah.
Get the books
what
out.
What color is it? What color is this truck?
Buzz and glove
red.
Compartment.
It's red?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. It's red.
Okay. Go ahead. Keep asking. All right, I've got it.
And it's a standard transmission, I presume. Is that right?
Yeah, that's why she shifts from second to third, I believe.
You don't have to. You do this manually. Does it have a clutch?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, you got it. Noise in glove compartment.
I have it.
We have a tremendous database of answers here.
Right.
Look on the page after choke
right, we
pull
have
off.
The junk and wagglers, automotive and cyclone.
That's right after the choke pull off answer.
what you have, Sandy, is a sympathetic vibration someplace, and you can actually.
Oh, isn't that nice?
It is. It's kind of sweet, actually.
It is. Yeah.
You can reproduce this without even moving the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried this?
No.
Sit there with the thing in neutral, mm-hmm. and step on the gas and bring it up to the RPM at which you hear the noise. You have a tachometer.
No.
Oh, you cheapskate. You bought the cheap version, huh?
Yeah.
You didn't
right.
get the tach. Well, try to figure out at what engine speed you hear the noise.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and bring it up to that engine speed and try to hold it there.
Uh-huh.
And I bet you're going to get the same vibration. And I'm going to guess that it's coming not from the glove compartment, although it might be, but it might be coming from part of the exhaust system, maybe a heat shield on the exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
And if it isn't that, I think it's probably the choke pull-off.
You're a loose choke pull-off mechanism.
No, actually, but it's a sympathetic vibration, and I'm going to guess it's somewhere in the exhaust, but it could be under the dash. Try banging on the dashboard. Have another person driving. Beat your forehead into the dashboard right above the glove box. That usually gets these rattles to go away.
No, that's rattlesnakes.
Oh, they're rattlesnakes. My Dodge Dakota truck had a very annoying rattle that I would only hear it idle coming from the dashboard.
Uh-huh.
And I busted three knuckles on my right hand trying to fix this. But I finally managed to do it by very strategically placed blows.
Yeah.
I managed to adjust the dashboard.
Did that make your truck any better?
No.
Is it still on the Consumer Reports fecal roster?
Oh, yeah. Top of the list.
My brother, world's foremost authority, has a vehicle which is on the Consumer Reports fecal roster.
Well, it just shows you what they know. I happen to love
it. And my car isn't.
No, it got dropped off the list because of age. Sandy, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
And I hope you find the noise. You will. That's what it is. Sympathetic vibrations.
Raise the hood and have someone stick his head under the hood or lie down next to the vehicle while you rev it up, and you will be able to find it.
So it doesn't...
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
That's the final word.
Is that the question?
No. Right. The final two words. Don't worry.
Okay, thanks.
Don't worry about it, the last two words.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Sandy.
Well, 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Ciao ragazzi, sono Luigi.
Hey Luigi, sono Tommaso qui. Come stai?
Va bene, e lei?
E bene.
Non c'è male, eh?
Non c'è male, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Listen guys, I want to know if a recent problem with my 85 Volvo 740 is related to a recent repair.
Yeah.
Okay, the car's failed a smog test, and I was told that I had to replace the catalytic converter, which I did, along with the second muffler, is that called a resonator?
You have two mufflers on this car.
Yeah, so I replaced...
Are you from California, Luigi?
Well, I'm from New York, but I live in California.
Yeah, I knew you were from New York.
How could you tell?
I don't know. It was a funny thing.
A wild guess. So within just a short time, a couple of weeks after replacing the rear muffler and the catalytic converter, the engine began fluttering at idle. And sometimes it would stall, and occasionally at cruising speed, the same thing would happen. The revs would go down. It was like the engine was getting choked, and it would come back again very quickly. I replaced the fuel filter about 6 months ago, and I don't think it's the fuel pump because that would have failed already, I think. So could it be a clogged catalytic converter or muffler?
No.
Oh.
Well, they just replaced both of those.
And if they were clogged, there would be no intermittency to it. The faster you tried to drive it, the worse it would be. And it would never clear up. Because once it's clogged, it's clogged.
Oh, I see.
So it wouldn't vacillate between good and bad.
Well, when I said clogged, perhaps I should have said defective.
You could have said that.
You could have said that, but that would have been meaningless.
Yeah, I mean, are we just, we want to stretch a point here so we can blame these guys in any way necessary?
No, really, I thought it was related. I just thought that
related in time.
You know why? Because we all like to have cause and effect in a nice little bundle.
And when things are related in time, the way these two events are.
It makes you feel good.
Causality jumps to the fore. But
right, so what could it be?
It certainly could be the fuel pump.
Uh-huh.
Because the fuel pump won't necessarily fail in the manner you think it would fail.
Oh.
Fuel pumps can be erratic.
Oh, I see. I thought they were either working or not working.
No. The fuel pump can put out way too little pressure from time to time, and that would affect the performance of it.
Okay, I guess I better have that checked.
You could also have a bad air mass meter. The air mass meter is the thing that measures the mass of air that goes through the filter and through it, and winds up inside the engine.
Uh-huh. And is this air mass meter a difficult or costly thing to replace?
It is very easy to replace, but it is very,
very
costly.
Expensive.
Oh,
it's several hundreds of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
So, but before you'd replace that, you'd want someone to test it.
I see. Okay, but first I should just check the fuel pump.
I would check the fuel pump pressure, absolutely.
Okay.
And you must have 150,000, maybe more. 169.
Oh, more.
173.4.
Yeah, it was close.
Yeah. Well, you did the right thing to move from New York to California because it was lousy in the snow, wasn't it?
It certainly was. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks,
all right, Luigi.
Okay, has Doug the Subway Fugitive Berman shown up yet?
No.
He's still missing.
He's hiding
up.
I suggest you look for him on the home plate in Yankee Stadium. Ciao, bambini.
Ciao. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Eileen from Somerville.
Hi, Eileen.
E-I?
E-I, yes.
Somerville, Massachusetts?
Yes.
Which part?
Ten Hills.
Ten Hills. Woo.
I can't. I must say that I'm not really familiar with Somerville. I just know it's next to Cambridge. That's all. Anyway, what's going on, Eileen?
Well, where is Ten Hills exactly?
It's near the Mystic River.
That's Ten Hills?
That's Ten Hills.
It was only seven when you were a kid.
It's the posh part of Somerville.
Yeah, evidently, yeah.
It is. I mean, it's always been considered the posh part. Wow.
Yeah, it's like the Ten Hills of Rome.
Exactly.
Anyway, Eileen, what's going on?
Well, I need your help in resolving a long-running car-related marital dispute.
Yeah.
And the dispute is, my husband has a long history of running out of gas. And so he has decided to resolve this problem by carrying a plastic canister full of a gallon of gas with him all
the
time.
What a bad idea.
I agree.
Oh, man.
Now, he tells me that something that I do is equally dangerous, which is when I fill the gas tank and, you know, it clicks off, I top it off until I get to an even number. So he says that that's dangerous. So we have agreed that we will abide by whatever you all tell us.
Okay, and so what do you want from us?
I want you to tell me if either one of these practices are in fact dangerous.
Yeah, both.
Both.
Okay.
You're both doing the wrong thing. He, on the other hand, is wacko.
Yeah.
You're just, what you're doing is not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're just slightly wacko, but you're borderline wacko.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's interesting. You're always trying to make it come out to an even number.
Well, you know, actually, it's not that I'm doing it. It's that I always go to full serve, and they do it.
You always go to full serve?
Yes.
So do I.
Me too.
I hate going to self-serve.
So do I.
Because someone's losing a job.
Exactly.
But anyway, carrying around gasoline in any kind of a vessel other than the gas tank that the manufacturer gave you with the car is pretty dangerous and should be avoided only unless it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, it's really a bad idea. I mean, even if you had
an approved
real gas container, uh-huh, that's only meant to carry it from the gas station back to the car that's stranded out there on the Mass Turnpike. It's not meant to be carried around in your car. It's dangerous.
Think of what could happen in an accident.
My point exactly.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And your husband is... I mean, what's his problem? Why can't he remember to look at the gas gauge?
I don't know.
He's thinking of bigger things?
He's an engineer. He's problem solving.
Oh, he's problem solving.
Well, here's what you need to do. You drive the same car?
No, we drive different cars.
Oh, what do you care? Let him run out of gas. When he calls you and says, come and pick me up, say, I'm too busy.
Well, what you could do is you could, if you have the key to his trunk, you could open up his trunk and pour that gallon of gas into the tank.
Uh-huh.
So he thinks
there you go.
And it's really empty. But seriously, tell him not to do this.
Okay.
It's dangerous. And you shouldn't top off your tank either.
Okay.
Okay, so you're both going to stop your dangerous practices.
We're going to stop living dangerously.
All right.
Excellent.
See you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we are now two-thirds of the way through the show. Do you know the significance of that?
Of course. It means that the libel attorneys, the FCC watchdogs, and the NPR censors have all stopped listening by now so we can say whatever the heck we want to say.
Are you kidding? They're the only ones who are still listening. And only because they're paid to.
We'll be back with a new puzzler and more of our patented lousy car advice in just a minute.
Here goes the diner in the left-hand lane. Cross that divider.
out of pain. Now I gotta go 3 miles east just to come back west. Man, this puts my patience to the test. You can't get there from here in Jersey. You're always on the wrong side of the road.
And even though NPR's marching band forms a huge SOS at the 50-yard line whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
The news moves fast. Listen to the NPR News Now podcast to keep up. We update stories as they evolve every hour. So no matter when you listen, you get the news as close to live as possible on your schedule. Subscribe to or follow the NPR News Now podcast.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and of course the new Puzzler.
Yeah. Let's go.
This may rate high in the what's the Bogosity meter?
The Bogosity meter, right.
No, you're gonna like this, I think. Last month, Tommy and I decided that we were gonna take a trip up north to see the foliage. And while we were up north there, we visited our chief web lackey, Doug Mayer.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, guys, there's a road right near my house that runs directly north and south.
Uh-huh.
And he said, yeah, well, yeah, sure, that's no problem. He said, but I can put my car on this road and point it north and drive for a mile. And when I'm done, come
on. No, it's good. I like it. No, go ahead. Keep going. Keep going. No, it's very good. Go ahead. No, go ahead. It's all right.
All right. Is the meter turned on?
Go ahead. No,
I don't see the needle moving.
No. Go ahead.
So I can get in my car and point it north on this road, and I can drive for a mile, and when I'm done, I'm a mile south of where I started.
Yeah.
How's he doing it?
How does he do that?
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on Ford.
Ted's stuck,
yeah. See? He's stuck. He's
working on it. Are the Bears white or brown in that part of the country?
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on Ford Dunlop SP Winter Sport 235-45 HR17 snow tires.
Who's going to use
mounted
those?
On M-Parallel spoke alloy wheels. I think Berman.
Oh, Berman's looking for
and
these.
And send them to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us, of course, from cartalk.com. But right now, if you have a question or you want to discuss anything else for that matter, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Arnie from Brantford, Connecticut.
I have a feeling we've met before.
I don't think so.
All right.
Brantford?
Brantford, Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Right down by Long Island Shore.
Oh, that Brantford, Connecticut.
We thought you were from the northern Brantford, son.
I'm from the southern Brantford.
Yeah. So what's up, Arnie, baby?
I'm having a problem with a harmonic balancer. It seems like my balancer is not in balance.
Oh, how unfortunate.
It's unfortunate. I bought a used car.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Honda Accord. It has 95,000 miles on it, used.
Yeah.
And the dealer said, you need a timing belt. So before I took this car home, he was very generous in putting on a timing belt.
Hmm.
Okay, I got the car home. It went fine for about a week. And the harmonic balancer is off the car along with three belts.
Oh, they forgot to tighten the big nut.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Mm. Oh, this is what I need to know.
It fell off in the road?
It was hanging on the crankshaft.
Yeah.
The belts were holding this thing up.
Yeah.
Okay. The light came on the dashboard. I assume it was the heat light.
Well, the alternator light would have come on first.
Because maybe it was that one.
Yeah, that was the one.
It's what a stop
that's
charge.
The light.
Yeah. Good. Okay. That's good.
Okay. So now I call the dealer. I say, hey, listen, I got a problem here. He says, well, I don't want to be too concerned about this. Can you take care of it yourself? I said, well, there's a garage down the road. Let me take it into the garage.
That's an interesting
approach. Call a welder in. Mm. They're going to weld something on the crankshaft.
Huh? Oh, I know what happened.
Oh.
Okay, so the mechanic puts on a second pulley, and I drive the car. I go out of there. I drive the car for about 2 weeks, and the second pulley falls off. Belts are hanging everywhere.
Yeah.
The red light comes on again. So at this point, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do with this car.
Yeah.
Well,
the car's sitting in my driveway. I've got less than 300 miles on the car, and I can't drive it.
Well, one of two things happens. There is a tiny little thing called a Woodruff key, which locks the crankshaft pulley to the crankshaft, or this harmonic balancer.
There's a little slot.
There's a little slot that the Woodruff key sits in the crankshaft, and then the harmonic balancer slides in over this Woodruff key, and then there's a big bolt that gets put on, with the air wrench.
The harmonic balancer is that big round thing, for those of you who don't know, which all the belts are usually going to down at the bottom of the engine. And it's a round spinning thing.
Yeah, it's a pulley.
It's supposed to spin.
So yours doesn't spin. Yours just kind of sits there.
Mine is wobbling.
Well, I mean, they made the mistake of either losing the Woodruff key.
Right.
Not putting it in,
or not tightening the bolt. But in the process, and the reason they had to call in the welder is that they destroyed the end of the crankshaft.
Oh, God.
It chewed up the keyway. Groove into which that key slides.
Yeah. Right. Unfortunately, when he said, can you take care of this yourself? It would have been okay to do that had it been simple, like the bolt wasn't tightened. But when I had heard that the welder had to be called in, I would have said, no, I don't want to take care of this myself. This has got to go back to the guy whose responsibility it is. That's what has to happen now.
What they owe you now is a crankshaft.
And that is going to hurt.
The mechanic is talking something about a short block.
Yeah, but they're going to have to. You don't care if it's a short block, long block, blockhead. You don't care what it is. They're going to pay for it.
The dealer's going to pay for this?
The guy who sold you the car. Yeah.
He should pay for this?
Sure. Oh, sure.
Oh, that's good news.
Oh, yeah. He's not going to like it.
So he put the timing belt on originally, so this is some shoddy workmanship?
Yeah.
Well, let's not be hasty here. It was a mistake.
A mistake.
An honest mistake.
Right. And now if they want to continue to be honest, and that they want to stay in the honest tradition, they have to honestly replace the engine.
The whole engine?
Well, at least the bottom end. They have a variety of options here. They can replace just the crankshaft, which they will do when they realize they have to pay for it. If they can get you to pay for it, they'll ask you to replace the whole short block, which is the bottom end.
How expensive is this going to be?
This is very expensive. Oh. This is thousands of dollars.
Thousands?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Retail. Wholesale, $8.
For you.
$8.
No, it's expensive.
It's expensive.
No matter who does it.
Would I be better off just, like, taking this car back to the dealer and say, give me my money back?
Did they give you a warranty?
90 days.
Well, it's obvious you can't drive it, right?
I can't. No, it's in the driveway.
Yeah. So I'm going to fix it. You're going to invoke the 90-day warranty.
If he starts giving you flack, as we call it, you say, thank you very much, and you call the Attorney General's office, and they'll take care of it for you.
Oh, this sounds serious.
They have guys, they go down, they break knees.
Right, or you call Luigi, who we just talked to a little while ago, and they'll lay a beating on these guys.
Do I trust this guy to go ahead and put a crankshaft in when he can't even do a timing belt right?
Well, if they're a dealership, they must have at least one guy there that knows
what
he's doing.
No, he's a used car guy.
He's a used car?
Oh, I misunderstood.
Oh, I thought it was the dealership.
No, he's got Chevys and Fords.
Oh, Arnie,
he's got a little bit of everything.
Oh, man, you're in deep doo-doo, man.
This is encouraging.
Oh, this is getting worse by the minute. We got to hang up now.
This is the classic used car salesman.
This is it.
White belt, white shoes,
plaid pants.
This is him.
Horn rim glasses.
Perfect.
Green blazer.
You got it.
Oh, man.
I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
I would get on this with all due haste before he relocates.
Oh, boy.
Which they do monthly.
It's good to know.
Yeah. They only rent those lots by the week. Good luck, man.
Well, thanks very much for your input.
And our
Attorney
encouragement.
General's Office, Consumer Protection Division.
I got it.
You got it.
Thanks, fellas.
Start writing the letter.
Sorry,
bye, Arnie.
I'm going to be writing. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He's taking it like a champ, isn't he?
He is. Little does he know.
Right now he's crying.
Oh, yeah.
If we could just cut right back in. Right. I can see it now.
Yeah, he put on a good show for the listening audience.
It was a manly thing to do.
Yeah, he made light of it, too. Kind of joked
a little bit. Okay, fine.
Oh, boy, you're a poor guy. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lisa. I'm in Rockville, Maryland.
Sure.
Yeah.
Close to Washington, D.C.
Right.
Where all those sleazeballs are.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
What's up, Lisa?
Well, I have a question. My husband bought a Corvette, and I was a little concerned that this was going to turn into a money pit.
Yeah.
He bought Corvette, or he bought a used one?
Well, it was just barely used. It was about 12,000 miles.
Ooh, he paid $40,000 for it, didn't he?
No.
Well, not quite, but...
Yeah, up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And about 3 weeks after he bought it, it blew a gasket. And I was just hoping that you could give me some idea of how bad this repair business was going to get.
It's a head gasket?
Excuse me?
A head gasket?
You know, I don't know, like a front manifold something.
How much did it cost?
We'll tell you what it was.
It was $485 to repair it.
Head gasket.
Could have been a head gasket, but probably could have been an intake manifold gasket.
That sounds right.
Yeah, $485, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this probably won't happen more than once or twice a month.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it kind of levels off after about year six.
Well, I was kind of hoping that you were going to tell me that how much I could plan on. So I really think that I should be able to extract something from him in return.
Oh, I see. So you want equal time.
Well, you know, I'm putting up with his midlife crisis, so... Yeah. I thought I would deserve something, and I was just wondering how I would plan on how big a thing I could get out of it.
Oh, so you have no intention of being the dutiful, suffering, silent wife.
Heck no. Why should she?
No, I'm kind of planning on something that could have its prongs checked.
So, I mean, you're absolutely right, but you almost don't even have to count in all the repairs. Just amortizing the $35,000 is enough, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
I mean, that's $10,000 a year.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think you deserve something of the value of $10,000 a year.
All right, what do you want, Lisa?
Well, I guess I want to be able to tell him that you said this is going to be like big bucks every year for repairs because the car is going to keep falling apart like this, and I should deserve something in return.
Well, I don't think we can tell you that.
What's it worth to you?
Oh, I see. You want a cut of this, huh?
Yeah, we want to be cut in. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
is he listening?
Just the standard finder's fee. I mean, if you get $10,000 a year,
you want
just...
10% each.
Well, that's pretty good. But seriously, I mean, is it likely that the repairs are going to continue at this sort of
rate? No, unlikely.
No, we can't tell you that.
You're making the same mistake that my brother makes every week. He extrapolates with insufficient data.
I don't do that. But you might be trying to do that. And no, I think this was an anomaly. This was just a funny thing that happened.
No, it was an intake manifold gasket.
An anomaly gasket.
No, because... so you feel cheated, Lisa. That's the real basis of your complaint here.
Well, he's busy having a midlife crisis, and what do I get?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you want? Right. That's what we were asking. What would you like?
I think it would be not unfair of you to ask for something that was worth $10,000 every year.
I like this.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And I think it's perfectly justified.
Yeah, I mean, get that Sears Roebuck catalog out and just dog-ear those pages.
Oh, is that your idea of a good time?
That isn't my idea of what I had in mind.
I would go directly to the travel agent and start looking at all the Caribbean cruises that are available. Don't take him with you.
Do you have one...
He doesn't deserve anything.
Do you have one particular thing in mind?
Yeah, I kind of want a ring with some rocks in it.
Rocks. Oh, those,
yeah.
Those multifaceted.
Well, but that's nothing. I mean, that's not even a start.
Oh, no.
I mean,
you can.
That's hardly the down payment.
No, you can spend big money on rings.
Depends how big the rocks are.
Depends how big and luminous the rocks are.
Yeah. I think I deserve it because, you know, these guys, when they get close to 40, they begin to get a little nutty.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that, yeah. Don't they?
Women don't, of course, because they're nutty all the time.
Well,
no,
Lisa,
but you're absolutely
right.
I'm
with you. I would go for a rock-laden ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell them you want as many rocks as they can put on the circumference of that baby. You want rocks all around it.
Okay, I'll tell him you said this.
Tell him we said that.
Absolutely. And he'll know. Deep in his heart, he knows that this is true.
Exactly. He'll know deep down that it's right. He'll enjoy the Corvette, and you can enjoy the rocks.
And the truth is, you're doing him a favor, because right now he's probably suffering horrible guilt.
I doubt it. Because he's probably out in that Corvette going, yippee!
He's driving around saying, oh my God, this is not fair to Lisa. And he's hoping that you will confront him with this. And when you make the offer that you will be somewhat appeased by this giant ring every year.
Mm-hmm.
Then a ring a year.
He will, in fact, be somehow feel better.
Lisa, send us a picture when you get it.
I will.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Of the Corvette.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to
kidding.
Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor. Just back from the Nyack Hardtack Baby Back Short Stack Sugar Smack Cracker Jack 12 Pack and Tic Tac Snack Attack. John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oteka Shawa. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our anger management counselor is our marine forecaster is Caesar Choppy.
Hey, we got him here already.
Our Russian chauffeur is Beekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz. And by the way, we have to lay off some of the Payne Diazes because they were becoming what? Payne Diaz. But we will mention this week the adopted son from Sweden, Bjorn A. Payne Diaz, and the recently discovered uncle from Warsaw, Zbigniew Payne Diaz. And of course, the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, is you, Louis Dewey, known to the ex-cabinet members selling gyros in Harvard Square as Huey Louis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our poorly curated clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. This week featuring a great way to ring out the old and ring in the new.
Did NPR finally cancel us?
No, not yet. I'm talking to people who have a used vehicle that they no longer need.
Ah, ring out the old car.
Right. If you donate a used car before the end of the year, not only will the proceeds benefit your favorite radio station, but you'll also get a tax deduction for this year.
Yeah, offset some of those illegal gambling receipts. Oops, did I say that with my outside voice?
Get all the details of the Car Talk vehicle donation program anytime at our website, cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR interns tweak their resumes and move NPR just below babysitting experience whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.